that he felt
God PM. I thank Allah for giving me the ability and the confidence, and more important, I am ecstatic to be able to talk to you out there in Radio Land. For you to take time out of your busy schedule to listen to me and to listen to all the presenters of New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks. We come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and we try to enlighten you on so many things. Brother Imam Musa Mabui did a wonderful job in explaining to you about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is important to 1,500,000,000 Muslims around the world. And we don't want y'all to think that we in Al-Islam, and I always say Al-Islam, A-L, you know, our foreign brothers just could not put the God, which means A-L, as Al-Islam. They just say Islam. It's okay. At least it gives you ability to understand what is Islam. But it's not in the Holy Quran. You will not find Islam in the Holy Quran. It says Al-Islam. And I like to say that because if we all say it, you will begin to say Al-Islam instead of saying Islam. Because a lot of people got their own Islamic ways and their own thinking, their own theory, and they bring things that we never heard of associated with Islam. But it is Al-Islam. There's so many things that's being said that we allow it to exist, because we're not perfect at all. It's your heart that's important. Only Allah sees your heart. So if you say Islam in your heart, you mean Al-Islam, Allah is going to give it to you. And if you say Al-Islam is not in your heart, or it stands for nothing, nothing whatsoever. So it gives me, once again, the pleasure, and I'm honored to put that belt. And because I have things that I would like to do with my family, Saturday, we come to you. Sunday, most families together, we come to you. Monday and Tuesday. And Tuesday is my special day because I've been on the air for over 5 years on Tuesday. And then we come to you Wednesday and Thursday. But Friday is a good day. It's Juma Day. And surely this is not a second Juma. No, it's only one Juma. But it's in the evening. And Brother Imam Musa gives his Juma during the day, and he tapes it, and he replays it on Friday. So you can hear what we do as Imams when we're doing Juma. I was just speaking about that with my children, most importantly my son, who came to visit me, how important Juma is. Now, the Christians, they like Sunday. Sunday is their holy day, and that's when they go to church, and they call that God's Day. The Jews have Saturday. Saturday means just that, Sabbath day, and that means God's Day. But we, the Muslims, we don't have a special day for God. Then why do we come together on Friday? Because of congregation. That's all Juma means, that we come together to pray as one. That's what Allah wants of us. One soul, one Ummah, one God. And when you come there, Allah rewards you as if you prayed 1,000 prayers. Yes. Now, it will take you a long time to pray 1,000 prayers. However, you get those blessings of praying 1,000 times if you only came to Juma. But listen to what God says. I didn't say it. God said it. God said, if you only but know, you will drop everything and rush to Juma. Why? Because you're going to get those 1,000 blessings. Well, you might not comprehend. Yes, you will. You will get those 1,000 blessings, called barakats in Al-Islam. Nevertheless, if you only knew, Allah said, if you only but know. So if you knew that you are wiped of all sins, brothers and sisters, every sin that you have committed from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you drop everything on Friday, Allah will clear you from all your sins. As if you came in the world brand new. Now you tell me what man or woman didn't commit a sin. It doesn't have to be a physical sin. You can think it. You can wrestle it in your mind. Should I do it or should I not do it? But you really want to do it, but you didn't do it. It's a sin. So Allah says he will erase that from you if you rush the Jummah. Why? Is that God's day? No, every day is God's day. That is for the congregation of men and women coming together and serving Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so therefore, this evening, I would like to touch on some of these things that we hear, but we can't grasp it in our mind. And I want to go deep into it on Tuesday. Why? Because Tuesday I got 2 hours, not hour, 2 hours. That's enough time for me to give you some enlightening of things that we say, the things that we act upon, the things that we make up in our own minds, things that people tell you as if they know is to be a actual fact. Yes, we go to Jummah and we sit and we listen to the khutbah. It's what you're supposed to do. But the problem I'm having today, when the imam say takbir, automatically we say Allahu Akbar. Actually, we shouldn't say that during Jummah. For Jummah is the first part is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, you talk about God. God this, God that, what God says, what God wants from us. Yes, you speak of the Quran because everything in the Quran is Allah. So if you do that, that's your first part. But the second part is community. Now you can talk about anything pertaining to community. Well, I had a son said to me, he said, Dad, that was a pretty good coupon. But the problem with that coupon that I was listening to, it didn't tell you about everyday life. And things go on that we are now paying attention to. I said, like what? He said, politics. He said, we're trying to learn politics, especially when you see that Islamic sister, Omar, who he believes is doing a wonderful job. And she went against the grain. There's not too many people go against the grain. And there's a lot of politicians that say they're Muslims in al-Islam, but they're not going to go against the grain. No, why? They want to be in position. But position is to give back. Position is to teach others what we have to look for. I said, what else? He said, well, they're not talking about things that goes on in life that one might run into. Yes, politics is one, but how do we live every day? What do we supposed to do every day? Now, my son had a point, and I'll tell you why. Because that's what frustrates me. What frustrates me is that al-Islam is a religion that it's the simple things in life. You don't have to be educated to know al-Islam and to read the Quran. And the Quran is for those who believe that they can't comprehend, for those who believe it's not about them, for those who believe they're not educated. Anything small that's good in this world is in the Quran. Anything big in this world is in the Holy Quran. So if you understand that, then you should read it and see for yourself that all Allah is doing is talking to your nature. And so therefore, the brothers come in and they want to come down front, which they came in late, so stay in the back and make your sunnah prayer. But to come down front and stand up and take the tensions away from the kupa, to watch you make your sunnah, it's not common sense. But no one taught that, brother. Is that once that adam is called and the prayer begins, yes, that's prayer. Don't you know every time at 1 o'clock you're doing zohr, salat to zohr? So if you're doing zohr, why are you doing zohr at the kupa? Because that's the only time Allah lets you speak out loud. Allah don't need us to speak. So this must be different, because at 12 o'clock it's solid. And that's from 12 or 1 in some areas. That's our zuhr prayer. But when you go to Asr, when you go to Asr Salat, what is that? That is your prayer that you don't speak. So Allah don't need us to speak when the lights are on. The revelation is lit. Allah said, you can see it for yourselves. I don't need you to speak. But on Friday, that's why it's two of the kupa speaking and two of the rak'ahs, two rak'ahs, and you speaking. Did you ever thought about that? Why just on Friday? Oh, some of these people say, that's God's day. No, I just told you, every day is God's day. But because you will come together as a congregation, you come together as one family, you come together as one ummah, you come together as Allah wants us to be, as he created Adam and Eve as one, then he rewards you. And you're giving him praise collectively with one person leading you to prayer, and that's the imam. And so therefore, when he speaks, you're not supposed to say anything. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. No. Now, Allah's not going to punish you because you don't know. But if you teach them, they will not speak. You may say something wrong. We can't speak to you. Why? You can't interrupt Jumba. You have to listen to the kupa. And the brother can say whatever he thinks is on his mind to say. But he can't use his own style. We are standing in the position of the absence of Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they gave us the blueprint how to create Jumba. Simple as that. So now that revelation is written, and Allah don't need us to speak. I don't care, he can be a scholar. He can be an uliman. He can be an imam. I don't care what he want to call himself. Allah don't want you to speak. So your prayer is silent while the lights are on. That's what it means, pressure. Pressure on who? Pressure on the ulamas, the knowledge men, to keep revelation alive. Keep it alive, but not doing your salat. You're not supposed to speak. Because why? It's still lit. But now you're sending it down to darkness. Now when darkness comes, it's not lit no more. And now you can speak out loud and read the Holy Quran. And tune in on Tuesday, and I will go a little further, but you got the point. So therefore, brothers, when you come into the masala, you either come up front, if they so spread apart, you have a right, but you be quiet. And you don't shake people's hands. Assalamu alaikum. Or you come in there whispering to a brother while the kupa is coming on. No, very unintelligent. But you do it. And more important, you don't wear a billboard. You don't have your name on your hat or name of some designer on your clothing. You can't come to Jumma with Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu Alaikum, Musa. Any name you want should not be on your shirt, should not be on your head, because why? It attracts. so you don't wear it. Not even a picture. A picture of your mother. A picture of yourself. No, it's not allowed. Because you're supposed to give your full attention on the Kupa. And if you come in late, brother, and you didn't get the first half of the Kupa, then you didn't do the four prayers, the four rakats. Because it's four rakats doing Zuhr. It's four rakats doing Asr. So you didn't get the four. Because why? You was late. Now, is America an Islamic country? No. So you may be late because of traffic. You may be late because you're coming from a job. So Allah will reward you as if you did come on the first part of the Jummah. Why? Good intentions. That's what it's all about. Nothing happens unless Allah wills it. And he only wills what is good intention. But what about things happening that's bad? He permits it. Meaning he's not a part of anything that is not clean, anything that's not righteous. Allah is not a part of that. And so therefore we should learn these things. And this way we can speak to the people that are sitting on the rug and get a full understanding. Understanding what Al-Islam is all about. This is Murad Muhammad. And once again, comes after Muslim Abui, and he plays his tape from Jummah, which a lot of people are hearing and learning, and I believe they are grasping the understanding. And then I come on to talk to you the way I am talking to you. My studying, brothers and sisters, takes hours. And my wife sometimes say, you ought to go to bed. You are not sleeping. You're up too late. I can truly tell you, I can get on a subject and I can be reading the Quran. And I just got to keep searching and keep searching because something tells me, as Imam Warasdi Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Warasdi Muhammad, is to dig a little deeper. And dig a little deeper is to not look at it on the surface. Dig a little deeper. Find the matter that's behind what Allah says. Dig a little deeper means that the unseen is what Allah wants from us. Seeing the moon and the stars and the sun, seeing the trees and the seven seas, and seeing all those things that Allah has allow us to see that is physical. That's one thing. It's okay. But to see that what you cannot see is what Allah wants you to see him. He's that you cannot touch or feel or see with the naked eye. But you can see Allah in your heart. You can see Allah in your good intentions. You can see Allah in the intellectual mind that Allah has given to us. Imam Warasdi Muhammad, when he came in 1975, he said the divine mind. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank Allah that created the heavens and the earth and everything between it, the system of all knowledge. We thank him for giving to us a mercy in Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the Prophet, a gift that he has given to us as a perfect example of all human beings. He's not just for us that's in Al-Islam. He's an example for every human being that walks the planet Earth. We salute him with the standing salute, the excellent salute, that salute that was given to mankind. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet and his descendants and his companion, Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sa'atu wa salam wa sawasuli kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salakallah wa deen. And brothers and sisters, you will hear me many times use that ending, Salakallah wa deen, which means surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. Yes, he does. But what we don't understand, and some things that we can't grasp in our mind, that the word Ameen, Ameen, the word Ameen is only after Fatiha. Yes, you use Fatiha, seven levels of Fatiha. You use Fatiha, you say Ameen. That is the open of the dawn, of the light of the understanding of the human being. You come into the light of understanding. The dawn is when you open your eyes and you begin to see. But now you got to do more physically, see. You have to comprehend. And so you have to read Iqra. Allah says, read Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. But anything beyond the Fatiha, Baqarah, all the way to Hanas, is Sadaqallah Fadim, if you want to use the Arabic term. If you want to use the English terms, you say, surely God Almighty speaks the truth. All of the surahs of the Quran is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, and the merciful redeemer, except Surah 9. Why? That surah continues. And that's why it doesn't say Bismillah Rahman Rahim when it gets to the ninth, because it's just a continuation of the surah prior to it. That's the only one in the Quran you don't say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. But you don't say Ameen. The brothers do it all the time, and I believe some of these ma'ams just forget. They don't recollect that they shouldn't be saying to you, Ameen, after doing a dua. And another thing, these duas that we do, we don't need you to do a dua for us. Every individual must stand on his own two feet, and we know how to make dua. And so we're not making dua for people out here in the world, because we can do that in our sunnah. I got my own dua. You got your own dua. I don't need to have your dua to be doing dua for me or anyone else. So we make sunnah prayer. Sunnah prayer teaches you how to lead prayer, because you have to lead yourself. Everybody can't lead you. You have to lead yourself, because on the final day of judgment, you will be answered. But you cannot speak. Your lips be sealed. Well, what's going to speak for you? Your portfolio. You have a portfolio. And that portfolio is written by the angel that sits on your shoulder. There's one angel on the right, and that angel whispered to you, somebody told me not to do that. That's the angel on the right. That's the angel that takes you to heaven. But when you turn a deaf ear to that angel, brothers and sisters, then he don't talk to you anymore. But the angel on the left, he will take you to hell. You know the saying, everything in the dark must come to the light. Well, you better pray it comes to the light in this world while you're alive. Because why? You can repent and you can erase it. But on the final day of judgment, everything in the dark will come to the light. You can't clean it up. It's over with. Once you pass, that's it. There's no more repenting. And your portfolio will be read on that final day. And if that portfolio is in your left hand, you're going to hell. If you the portfolio is in your back, behind your back, you're going to hellfire. But if that portfolio is in your right hand, you made it. You made it. Allah says, welcome, human. Welcome to paradise. But you can be in paradise, brothers and sisters, while you live. You don't have to play Satan's world. Satan plots and plans, but God plans, and God is the best of planner. And he taught us to stay in our nature, stay in our good nature. Now, I heard someone say, even today, that there's two types of nature. I don't know where that one comes from, but okay. There's two types of nature. There's one that we get out of. No, you got out of your spirit. You can't get out of your nature. That nature you can't touch, Satan can't touch, I can't touch. No one could touch that nature. Satan cannot turn that nature to be anything except what Allah created. I'll give you an example. The heart. The heart of the human being, I don't care what complexity is, what nationality is, how tall, how smart, how educated, how uneducated he or she may be. Take that heart out of that body and put it in the sun. It's going to turn black. It's a heart. And the heart is created by Allah himself, and the only one knows that heart is Allah. But you can leave your spirit. Your spirit can travel. Your spirit can take you to China, and you ain't never been to China in your life. But that spirit can take you there, and that spirit can talk to you. He'll say, hey, human, come out here and define where I'm at. Why? Because the spirit can't tell you that. Allah made you, create you to be very highly educated. It brings me to a point. There's a brother in the prison. He wrote a book called Where the Sun Don't Shine. He was on death row for 40 years. He never did it. But he smelled people burning. Soon they're getting ready to burn him. And he told the authorities, can you give me a mask or something? They said, no, get used to it because you're going to burn too. So he knew he didn't do it. So order for him to live that many years in solitary confinement. He wrote a book, and this is what he said. Do you know I was married to Howie Barry? That beautiful, gorgeous woman that's an actress? Yeah, that's my wife. We've been married for 4 years. 4 years, yes. We went to China. We went to Paris. We went to England. What is he talking about? He said, yes, I was married. And as soon as I heard that, I said, that is the manifestation of what Allah is saying. The spirit can leave that solitary confinement. They had the body, but because the body was locked up, they did not have to, whatever it was, they couldn't lock his spirit up. So his spirit went outside those walls and traveled. And he said, now, that kept me on ground zero. That kept me wanting things out of life. And sure enough, they found him not guilty. He didn't do it. I think that's a great metaphor, how the spirit can leave the soul and travel around this world, and the spirit will call you if you are in tune with your spirit. But if you leave your spirit, you don't have that function anymore. You're not in tune with your nature. You're in tune of this world. And so you allow yourself to now become a imp for the jinn. Now, the brother talked about the jinn too. He said there couldn't be good jinns, but there are jinns to help you. Now, that kind of confused people if he would have said to them that Allah says in the Holy Quran, there's a group of jinns that heard a beautiful recital. Nor a jinn, no man should ignore that cycle. So what is Allah saying? All jinns are not with Satan. Jinns have accepted Allah, and they heard a beautiful recital. Now, what recital did they hear? Because there was no Quran back then. The Quran is our nature. And when one expressed their beautiful nature, like Muhammad the Prophet did, the reason most people gravitated to him, because he was Al-Amin. Yes. He was Hanif. Yes. He was all these good names that he has acted in his nature. You can't give it to him as education because he had no education. He was unlearned. So you can't say it was that. You can't say he was a Jew or a Christian or he was a part of idol gods. No. He never, ever allowed himself to be a part of any of those religions. But they respected him for his honesty and integrity, his moral decency. Where did it come from? He was acting in his nature. So Allah goes on to say Muhammad the Prophet was different than most of us. What is that, Lord? We got out of our nature. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers be upon him, never got out of his nature. That's what made him perfect as a human being. Yes, do he slip? Yes, do he make mistakes? He's human. Tell him, Muhammad. That's what he asked him. He said, tell him, Muhammad, that you are mortal human being just like them. So we don't ever think the way we think about Jesus, make him his son or make him a god. No, that will never happen again. He's a slave servant to Allah, and he's a messenger. Allah needs no prophet. We can't call him a prophet because why? We ain't sent him to prophesize anything. Only Allah. He's a prophet for Allah. I'm sorry. He's a prophet for us. He's a messenger of God. Yes, he's a messenger of God. And because he's a messenger of God, that makes him submit to nothing else but God's will. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Alameen. And so what's happening today coming amongst us, and because they had a crash course overseas to learn the Arabiyah, and when you learn the Arabiyah, of course, that's God's language, and it sounds good, but most people have given them and taught them to teach it the way they want you to teach it, meaning they have no good intentions. And so we do just that. And they got so much money that they pay them. They literally, brothers and sisters, pay them. Why? Because we got away. Who is we? Well, let's look at it this way. Allah gave it to the Jews. The Jews had it first. It was called the Chosen One. That's why they're so successful today, because Allah allowed them to be the chosen one. But they kept it for themselves. So Allah had to build. He had to build in his mind. Let's listen, brother, sister. He had to build in his mind that Allah had to send him a righteous man. A righteous man he had to send him. And that righteous man had to be pure, so they had to come out of a pure womb. So Mary was it. So Mary gave birth a human being, which is Jesus, and everybody believed that was sensational. But we, the Jews, we, the Christians, we, those in Al-Islam, accept. We accept. So she was pure, but it doesn't mean she was a virgin from her waist down. It meant that she was a virgin of this world, and she didn't need this world to teach her. She needed God himself to teach what she needed to teach a son that she raised, who was Jesus. His job was to cut down the fig tree. Now, why was it the apple tree, pear tree? Because the fig tree only means that the fruit, fig, got a lot of seeds. Seeds is what you plant to grow. So they use the word seeds, the scholars, so you can understand that the Jews cannot multiply anymore. Tree represents knowledge, so he cut down the fig tree. That's all it meant. And that stopped the Jews. However, the Jews created Christianity. Oh, I know you and Christianity don't know that. But if he's stopping the Jews, why would he allow the Jews to create Christianity? Well, every Jew wasn't bad. There were some good Jews. There's good Jews right now today. There's Jews don't like what's going on in Israel, but they can't do anything about it. So it was taught that the righteous man changed anything wrong with their hands, and they can't change it with their hands. They change it with their tongue. And if they can't change it with your tongue, they would change it with their heart. They'll pray for it. Well, there's no Jew will try to get in the way of Israel. They'll lose their life. And if they talk about it, they will ruin their whole career. So you can't do nothing about it but pray for it. However, the good Jews created Christianity. But here comes that diabolical mind of a Jew, and he decided to make it a business. So he made it physical. He made Jesus God. And then when you finally start waking up that Jesus can't be God, then he made Jesus what? The Son of God. And you went for that. And so therefore, by doing that, he was able to rule you. Because if you believe that God has a son and he's the creator of everything, the heavens and the earth, and sure you don't need a son. They took the scripture of son, S-U-N, and make S-U-N S-O-N. So S-O-N became what? Your physical son. You went for it. The cross is like the crossroad. You have to be balanced. Straight up is the horizontal, is the balance. When a guy walks a tight rope, he got to have a long pole. Why? To balance himself. If you look at it, it's a cross. So the cross is to be balanced. And balance in what? Balance in your knowledge. Don't be too far to the right or you'll fall off that tightrope. And don't be too far to the left. You must come straight down the middle and be duly proportioned in your understanding. And so it made it a physical idol God. They drew a physical cross. And you buy it. You hang it on your mirror in the car. You'll put it up on everything you wear around your neck because you believe the cross will save you. When I was a little kid, I thought the same thing. But the way I looked at it, that this vampire was biting everybody, sucked the blood from the neck. And this priest took his cross off his neck and said, "Back! Back, you devil!" And the vampire took one step back and two forward and bit the hell out of him. That terrified me at 10 years old. 10 years old, I wanted to know, why is the cross protecting him? And as I got older and began to read Revelation, I realized it wasn't the cross. It's who you are. And that vampire knew you was a fake. And that's why he bit him. So it had nothing to do with the cross. Well, in reality, theoretically speaking, it do not have nothing to do with a physical cross. Then they made the slave master's picture to be Jesus. Oh, do we love Jesus. Why? Because he's the only white man that didn't hurt us. You know, when our old ancestors came over there, they used to say, you can have this honey. You can have this land. You can have this God and this gold, but give us Jesus. Yes. And you thought they meant Jesus Christ. No, the boat they wanted back. The boat that came over was named Jesus. And they felt that they can get that boat back and get on the boat and do what? And go back home. Well, of course, that did not happen. But we fell in love with Jesus because that white man was hanging our father, castrating our brothers, raping our mothers, putting us in boiled water, eating us like it would have a picnic, which they call pick a nigger. I saw all these things was happening to us. But what happened, brothers and sisters? What happened? They made Jesus look like him. Blonde hair, blue eyes, pale face. It was the biggest trick in the history of tricks. Then they gave us Santa Claus. We worked hard, spent our hard-earned money. And we bring them toys, and our children are so happy with Santa Claus. Not daddy, not mama, Santa Claus. And what he look like? White, with a white beard. He comes on a sleigh with reindeers, and he comes down the chimney, ho, 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 and your mother stay up late and give him cookies to eat. But you know when I woke up? I woke up when I heard this song. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. What the hell is my mama kissing Santa Claus? He ain't my daddy. And I realized, that is the song they singing to us. Young man, he was kissing Santa Claus because Santa Claus is your daddy. And that's when I realized my daddy was buying them toys. So why is all this to fake us out and use religion in doing so? So now you take the pill and you eat the pill because that's the flush of Jesus. And you drink wine. I always say no wine before it's time. But you eat, drink wine because that's the blood of Jesus. And brothers and sisters told them that you will never believe in one God. You have to give them the Trinity. And they were such savages that they was eating raw meat. And they was drinking the blood of the animal. So make them think it's a religion. Give them the pill and tell them that's the flesh of the animal. But they said, Jesus, give them the wine that minds of the blood they drink and tell them that's Jesus. And that trick worked. They make trillions and trillions of dollars. And now you got the Catholic Church that made a law that the government cannot touch their law. And they were raping and molesting our children. They say two flesh come together is a sin. Well, that's no sin. Allah didn't create a sin. Two flesh coming together is Adam and Eve. But they didn't teach us that. They taught us it's a sin when you reach God. So since they went against matter, since they went against the creation of God, they doing what? Got your little 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old bending over backwards. Why? Because you told them that's the closest thing to God. It's the real deal. It's the truth. Don't dial this network. New Africa, excellent enterprise on radio, block radio, because if you do, you're going to hear the truth. And so last but not least, I heard a very distinguished email. And the question was asked, and because he was on YouTube, he mentioned it, and it shouldn't have been mentioned. And what he said is that a brother took Shahada. He said, the brother took Shahada Jane, and he bear witness that there's only but God, one God. And he bear witness that Muhammad, the prophet, was the seal of the prophet. And the brother said he was so pleased with him. And he said he was a captain, he was a lieutenant. He said, but he was a part of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he went to Farrakhan, but when he came back, he told the brother, no, I bear witness that Farad is Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So it was time for prayer. So the brother said, oh, brother, you can't pray with us. This is my masjid. You have to get out of line. And the brother, I'm quite sure, was very praying with his brother. And he read from the Surah of the Quran. And he spoke about it in Arabic. And he said, it means that a believer is a Muslim. And if you're not a believer, you're not a Muslim. So I can't allow you to practice shirk and pray with me. You're not my brother. Only my brother can pray with me. Now, brothers and sisters, I was shocked and amazed at this scholar. I'm shocked and amazed that this man said he gives his whole heart to the Quran. But I want to ask him, what the hell is he reading? You see, if you look at the story, Noah's three sons. The first son, because Noah was naked and was drunk, he looked at his father and the son tried to help his daddy. And when he tried to help his daddy, couldn't really help him. They call him the white man. The second son, he looked at his daddy, but he was disgusted and he kept walking. They call him the yellow man and the brown man. And then there was a last son. This son looked at his daddy and ridiculed him. Oh, did he call him all kinds of names to shame him? Yes, this is true, brothers and sisters. And so what happened, whether you knew it or not, they called that one a nigger. And they named him Black. And they named him the Child of Ham. Now, I know some of y'all read about the Child of Ham. If you don't know too much about that, you tune in on Tuesday from 7 to 9, and I'll go more into depth. The same people that call him Black, why they call him Black and they all Black there in Africa, is he had curly hair. So he felt he was better than the one with knotty hair. So they call him Black. They call him the nigger. And said that we here in America are the son of Ham. Yes, they believe that. Now, that's mathematically impossible because their father is Noah. Who is Noah's father? Adam. If he came from the womb of Eve and his father is Adam, how did it change through the third son? It cannot happen. This is not intelligent. Well, you can't give us and say we're the children of his third son. We're the children of our father, Adam. You can't take that from them. So Allah breathed into Adam. He was nothing but clay, dirt, dust. He breathed into him some of his spirit because Satan didn't want to bow to him. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait till I breathe into him some of my spirit. And when Adam came alive, everybody submitted except these jinns that called themselves angels. And when he turned to the original angel and said, tell me your name. And the real angel said, I can't tell you our names, Lord. We only know what you teach us. He turned to Adam, who just came into heaven. He said, tell them their names. And he began to tell them the name of everybody, including the so-called angel, bowed down to him inside your prayer, all but Iblis. Iblis did not. And Allah told him to get out of heaven. Now, how is it that if you look at the human being has a heart And that heart is strictly the creation of God. Can nobody take the heart away from the human being? But in that heart, brothers and sisters, got a short period of time, so I can't go into the Arabia. But in that heart, it prompts Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Can no man change that heart? That heart is strictly submits to the will of Allah. And that's why Revelation wasn't written on the forehead of Muhammad the prophet, which is your intellect. So therefore, it was said if Revelation was written on the tallest mountain, it would crush the sand. Mount Everest would crush the sand. That's how heavy it is. But it was written on his chest. So he expanded his to be a mercy to all humanity. So how is it that an individual can tell you what that man believes? He has no right to say what God created, because there is a deep soul in the heart. Deep. So deep that you only feel it when your heart burns and hurts. That's the only time you know it's there. But in there, Allah reads you. And Allah says, in the beginning, so would be at the end. And all of us that came in this world in our righteous spirit have got out of that spirit. Got out of that spirit. So did our father. But he repented after he was tricked by Satan. And that's why he got kicked out of heaven and we here on this planet going through trial and error. But on this planet, brothers and sisters, Allah will judge you because he knows what's deep in the heart of the human being. You have no right to judge another man. You have no right to tell a man to get out of the ranks because what you heard out of their mouth, because that's only Allah's job. You have no damn right to tell a man he gone to hell. When that same individual, 100 people, because one told him he's going to hell for killing 99, that same individual was traveling towards righteousness. That same individual dropped dead, and the angel of hell grabbed him to take him to hell. And the angel of heaven grabbed him to take him to heaven, and Allah sent the third angel. What's the problem? So he's going to hell because why? He killed 100. He killed 100 going to hell. So Allah said, no, through the angel, he's traveling through towards righteousness. Say, well, let's measure it. And only why he made it a hand towards righteousness, because Allah moved the earth. That alone should tell you. You didn't create yourself, so you cannot judge yourself. That's all his permission by Allah. So in ending this, if you're a man, you better go back and study. Because to teach that for around the world, the scholars are saying, he's reading, but Allah did not bless him to get the comprehension. I thank you for listening, and I say anything to hurt anybody, it's not mine. But if I said anything that was incorrect, I'm human, I believe you got the point. But I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your fitr and nature in which Allah has created you to be, stand up in your taqwa, your divine mind. You're intelligent. Don't give that to me. Give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you from our father, Adam, our biological father, to the nation, all nations, nationality, the intellectual mind who he represents, to our brother Jesus Christ, to Muhammad the prophet, the seal of the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and to Allah, of the words in the Holy Quran that no one could take credit for. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. That comes from Allah. That's his words. I thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow from 7 to 8.
And I will continue this, inshallah. Thank you, may Allah be with you.
As-salamu alaykum. This is your beloved brother, Murad Muhammad, live on your Block Talk Radio. I'm coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do so. And brothers and sisters, you take time out of your busy schedule, which I have, to be able to come on the air and to speak to all of you out there in radio land. I get barakats for it, and so therefore I enjoy doing so. Yes, I do. And because of that reason, I come on the air. And I want to say to you that people say you work too hard, Murad, and you should calm down. Well, I got a problem with that. I thank Allah to be able to study, which I do, and try to give it to those who deserve to have it. Because when you do that, Allah rewards you. Because of that reason, and that reason only, is why we who believe in trying to help those who don't know, instead of ridiculing them, we have to give it back. I can't do things like normal people. I felt all my life I'm just not a normal guy. And I don't do things just for myself, brothers and sisters. I do things for the sake of Allah. And when we say for the sake of Allah, because he needs nothing from us, he said that many times over, I need nothing from you. But we do know, if you believe, he's in charge and he sees everything. Well, we are taught serve God as if you can see him. Know that you can see him, but he sure can see you. You have to know that. And if, in fact, you live your life like that, you say, well, I'm not going to do this, even though it's for yourself. You say, for the sake of Allah. Why for the sake of Allah? Because he sees you. But do he need you to do that? No, he needs nothing from us. He said it himself, I need nothing from my creation. I created all for you, human being, the angels, the jinn, the birds, the bees, the animals, the moon, the star, the sun. Yes, the air you breathe, he created for you, the water you drink. He brings it up from the filthy earth that we made filthy, and he purifies it and sends it back to us. This is why today we purify water. Because why? Allah is the creator. Now, you will never use that phrase, the creator, because when you use that phrase, that means there's some other creation around. Well, who creates? We do. Did God give us? Yes. But we're little creators. He created us. He breathed into that earth some of his spirit, and my father, Adam, came alive. And because that he came alive, brothers and sisters, is why we are here today. So, yes, we were born in heaven. Most people say we are God's children. It's all right you say that because you really want to say that God created us. But in reality, God has no children. But theoretically speaking, God knows what you mean. And so he will forgive you for using the English language or any other language and say you are the children of God. No, God has no children. But he created us. Yes, he did. And he made us crown of creation. Yes, he did. And so therefore, one will think
that's your father. No, he created your father, Adam. And Adam couldn't have it unless the child came through what? The womb. And because the child came out the womb, it's called Adam and Eve. But Eve is not selfish. She don't need your recognition. You recognizing her. She don't need that. She don't need no pat on the back for a figure of speech. Why? Because you says Adam. And when you say Adam, you're saying Eve. She's his other half. He wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. All of us came from the womb of the female. So we should understand that. We should understand that to the utmost, that the female is important. But without the man, the female cannot exist. You know, I was asked the question, you know, after 9 months, your wife can die on the operation table. Yep, she can die. And sometimes one or the other have to go. Either bring that baby in and she's not going to withstand that pain, so she's got to leave here. Or allow the baby to die and then bring him in here, or she, and let her live. So the question's going to be asked to you, which one do you want? Now, most people would say, bring me my son. Most men. Why? Because he wants a son. Now, maybe the first baby, he might think about it. But if he had two or three or four or five girls, he might want that boy to come out of that womb. But that's not with simple common sense. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out, one, you know that wife, you don't know that child. So why would you choose that child you don't know over top of your wife? Okay, you don't know, you don't even want to think about it. But let's put it in proper perspective. If that child dies in the womb, it goes straight to paradise. Why? Because it never came into this world. And because it never came into this world, it goes straight to paradise. If, in fact, you know that, when that baby is pulled out of the womb and found out it was choked by the navel cord, then mama did not kill that baby. And mama didn't take anything prior to kill that baby. It's the will of God that that baby choked in the womb and passed away. That's the best way I can put it to you. But it goes straight to paradise. So as us in Islam, we do a lot of things, brothers and sisters. We have to wash it down and clean it and then wrap it, put it in the grave. No, you do not. Those are rituals. The baby didn't never come in this world. You don't have to do no prayer over anything. It's gone. Isn't that amazing that when you learn that, it's gone? Now, if you know that, then what happens when it's gone in this world? Well, we have to pray for it. But the baby is out of that earth. It's no longer in the earth. So it leaves. So you putting dirt back into dirt. You respect it because you're used to seeing that earth. And you're used to knowing that earth. But that is not the human being. For when you study this religion, you will understand earth goes back in the earth. Even the preacher says that. Ashes, ashes, dust to dust, earth to earth. It goes right back to the earth. And that flesh had to be put back into its proper perspective, the earth. How's it going to do that? How's it going to do that? And the earth was on this earth moving around and about. Because it had the spirit in it. Without the spirit, it can't move. It can't do anything. So the insects is waiting for it. Yes. And the insects, if they can talk and you can hear them, they say, y'all are the most unintelligent people, yet y'all supposed to be the intelligent. There's no one on earth but the human being, even if in fact it's the angel. The angel does everything for God. He should be over top of you. No, he's not. Why? Because he is created to do just the will of God. He has a job. He can't rationalize like you. He can't stand upright like you. He has a job, and his job is to protect us. But you have an opportunity to say yes or no. You have an opportunity to will what you want done to yourself. That's how powerful you are. And so the insects are saying, you are so intelligent, but you standing here holding up my food. Let's put it like that. They there saying, why you put this body in the grave with shoes on, socks on, pants on, everything else as if he or she is alive? And I got to eat through all that material, those shoes and them socks, to get to what is created for me to have. That's the worms, that's the termites, and any other insect down there. They have to eat that flesh and ingurgitate it right back into the earth in which it has come from. But you hold it up. And some put jewelry on it, some put all kinds of things on the body because you think the body's going to come back the way it left. No, it's not, brothers and sisters. It is not. And those who are in Islam that believe that, you've just lost your religion. Yes, because you're supposed to know better. But you don't. We don't put so much emphasis on the grave. That's the way the pagans was. They had so much emphasis on the grave that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't let them go to the grave no more because they was praising the grave. And you got imams talking about you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to answer to God. Where are you going to answer to God at? When it says seal, your mouth will be sealed. So when are you going to answer to him? Or he going to raise you from that old dirt that he created Adam from? As if Allah can't create new dirt. Who said we're going to be made out of dirt? I ain't hear no one come back and tell us how we're going to look. But Allah did say we'll be beautiful. He said that to the female. Oh, you have beautiful milky skin, pearly eyes, tall. You thought that was another woman's sister. No, Allah was talking about you. Allah makes everything new. So we don't got so hung up because we let people come over here and teach us. There's not an African-American today that talks like that was taught by anyone other but a foreigner. Because Allah gave us the gift. But we want to be like foreigners. We want to dress like them. We want to look like them. We want to walk like them. But I see now a lot of people waking up. They may not change their way of dressing, but they're waking up and realize that something is wrong with this. And those who follow the Imam Wadisdi Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Wadisdi Muhammad, done got left back. They're left back, sisters, brothers. You ever see a person that we got promoted, and the one that didn't get promoted, he didn't do his work? Then you go on from the 7th grade to the 8th grade. Then you graduate, he's still in the 7th grade. Then you go to high school, you do 4 years, he's still in the 7th grade. Then you grow up and have a family, you say, my God, he's still in the 7th grade. Don't you think something's sick about that individual? You can't tell me that I give you this knowledge, then you lose everything. You lose your principle. You become self-gratified. Everything is about you. You lose everything that you won't get up and tell somebody, hey, I can't read. I can't read. Nah, I can't read, Lord. They believe in the Lord. I can't read, brother and sister. How you think I'm going to get out of this storefront? I'm losing my math shit because why? I can't read. So somebody should teach him how to read because he can't produce nothing, but he can all give you words, but you're not going anywhere. I know sisters and brothers are leaving school to go to another school because why they not learning nothing in the school? I know a brother who lost his education industry he had, the industry. He was teaching these bad kids how to become good students. They took the school from him. The kids come back and said, guess what? They teaching us what we learned already. That's what's going on. That's the best way I can put it. But you the fool to stay in that class. You the fool. Oh, I know. I grew up with them. At least they're trying. Yeah, well, put them in special ed. Put them in special ed so they can get taught. But they don't want to be taught. They want to keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And it's all about, I got to raise money. When are you going to give some money? Matter of fact, you don't only not give money, you hold on to all of the community's money. And you see, brothers and sisters, you wonder why the first was. See, brothers like that will either be hurt. They usually break their legs, put them in the hospital when they wake up, and they look like they're getting better to come out, they break them again. Because we was taught eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Even Steven, some get shot. When you don't think you're moving, they shoot them, and some die. But you look at stupidity. But yet, this is Al-Islam. And there's no one from a foreign country other than Farhat, you got to give Farhat credit, that he introduced us. But he didn't teach us. He introduced us. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was smart. He was smart. Yes, I'ma say it. This is Blog Talk Real, New Africa Excellent Enterprise Mirage speaking. I'm going to tell you, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was smarter. He knew that Farhat wanted us to become powerful. But he was raising a black devil. To do what? To kill the white devil. Yes. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew it, so made him God. You really believe the Honorable Elijah Muhammad thought Farhat was God. But he knew if he made him God, he can't come back. He can't come back because I was only 9, 10 years old and the papers read $250,000 for anyone can bring me the head of Farhat Muhammad or find him and turn him in. $250,000, a lot of money. Well, he had to stay away. Now, he came around. But he had to stay away. So the Honorable Hunter said, okay, he's God. To get us away from Jesus Christ being our God. To get us away from white folk being our God. You notice he didn't tell us a black man was God because we wouldn't have went for that. But Hunter likes a trap. He didn't look like us in our complexion, had straight hair, but he wasn't Jesus Christ. He wasn't what they told us Jesus was all about. So it worked. But he knew he had to clean us up. He knew that we was deaf, dumb, and blind. You read the Quran. It says deaf, dumb. So he read the Quran, but he knew we wasn't ready. Stand upright. Stand in Qiyam position. Open your hand and repeat these words. Surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah. You say thee, O Farhat. Thee, O Allah, doing what? Trying to be upright to who originated the heavens and the earth. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a master. And he knew how to take care of us. And we became so powerful that America feared us. Men went to jail. Men lost their life. But wherever we went, we taught. They come out of jail not being who they was when they went to jail. And Malcolm is one of them. We love Malcolm. And they getting ready to do a pilgrimage to Malcolm's grave. But they will never talk about the man who made Malcolm. They will never talk about the man who made Ms. Farrakhan. They will never talk about the man that his lawns helped Sister Clara to give birth to, Emir Willis B. Muhammad. They won't talk about him. They fear to talk about him. And you are scared to talk about him. We have lost our history. We have came so far and reverted back to where we come from. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. But guess what? You see, I come up through the army. I don't fear nothing, nothing. And I was taught how to kill with one finger. Now, I'm not going to tell you who taught me all of that. But I respect him today because of that reason. And it got me to serve under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad 23 Sundays in a row. No one gave me that post. It allowed me to protect the man worth D. Muhammad. And yes, I sat by Minister James' house many nights, all night, and would have gave my life. But I wasn't on that duty that day. And he was a smart man. He knew that he was in trouble and ducked his security. He wouldn't have ducked me. See, because whatever them brothers were doing, and they didn't mean to do it, it was meant for them not to be with him because he would have been, they all would have been dead. Or they'd have killed me because I'm on my post. I'm going to watch them. Brothers and sisters, when I protected Muhammad Ali's life, when I protect Muhammad Ali's life, some of the most gorgeous women came to me. You can put your panties back on, sister. You'll go to Muhammad Ali if he asks for you, but my job is to let no one in. Oh, that was temptation. How about taking pictures? Sammy Davis Jr., all the great actress, Cher, her husband, everybody. I no telling where I would be today selling those pictures. Never took a picture of either one of them. Wasn't my job. My job was to protect Muhammad Ali's life. And that man loved me so much that I was with him everything he did, even in his personal life in that suite. You, Moran, don't let nobody in this door. And we talked about many things. I learned listening to him. When he went down through that hole and I caught him with 160 pounds under both pits of his arm, he'd have broke his leg, wouldn't have been no money. When Dini went down, I couldn't get help from Dini. When they were throwing chairs and fighting in Yankee Stadium, that's me. He said, can we get through there? I said, come on, champ. He's much taller than I am. I'm 5'10". He's 6'3". Why he go get the other brothers? He came, got me. When we went to see in Germany what happened to our Jewish brothers at those ovens, I was there with him. I'm walking with him. Oh, I can tell you some stories being with Muhammad Ali. But he had a love for me. And I remember when I started making it, and I said, Here, champ, this is yours. He threw it at me, very angry. You giving me money and you put your life on the line for me? Told me it was an insult. Insult, brother. So that's how good he is. He's an unbelievable boy. Man, but I'm telling you, I never took one dime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always blessed me to be able to get my own money. How did I get to Chicago every week, 27 weeks straight? Coming way before that, I can tell you a story for another hour. I went because that was my leader. That was my teacher. And I would jump up and take a bullet from him. From Russell.
I wasn't in the audience, sitting front row. And when I saw the Imam Waterstein Muhammad, I called Yusuf Muhammad, who everybody knew, Joseph Ford, said, we got a new leader. He came all the way in the storm. I said, watch when you hear this. He looked at me and said, we got a new leader. Imam Muhammad hadn't passed away. Since Clara Muhammad died, I'm standing right behind him, right behind him. The Imam Muhammad, when we was putting Sister Clara in the grave, I'm just a young man. I don't live in Chicago. I drove to Chicago every week. And I had a brand new 1971 Fleetwood Brougham. Had no miles on it. I'd go there every week. Wife said, where you going? I'm going to Chicago. Where you going? I'm going to Chicago. Where you going? I'm going to Chicago. I wanted to be around the men I could protect. That was Murad Muhammad. Well, I was Rashid then. I'm Murad Rashid Muhammad. I'll never forget Rashid. But the point is that the oldest son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I want you to come to my house. He gave me a coat because it was chilly. I didn't know it was going to be that chilly. And he said, I want you to marry my daughter. I said, marry your daughter. He called for her. And he showed me, but she had a little mink jacket on. She wasn't light-skinned like him, but she was pretty. I said, I got a problem, brother. I'm married. Now I'm 17 years old. He said, you're too young to get married. I was married since I was 16 because I'm Elijah Muhammad. My daddy said, get married. I did everything they asked me to do. I got a brother now to talk about my gaiters and my custom-made suits, and he put me on the roof. He put me on Goddess Tate. He said, you never wave. I said, brother, I'm in the army for Muhammad. I'm in the army for Muhammad. Now, I'm saying all that to say today, the men that's the imams today, most of them never was in the army. They was never in the army. So they don't know nothing about being in the army. But yet, they were secretaries. Yet, they was ministers. But they never been in the army. So out here is called trial and error. Out here is called do or die. Either you're going to die for this or you're going to do this. Do or die. But something's happening, and we are being penetrated by self is tearing up the Imam Waterstein Muhammad's community. Well, here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Access Enterprise, Murad Speak, come to you 7 days a week, we're not going to do it. I'm not going to allow it to happen. What I'm going to do is create my own. I'm looking right now for 10 acres of land so I can build our own restaurants, our own food of thoughts, our own mess here. But there ain't going to be no conglomerate mess here and no money is being produced. We have to be productive. Oh, and I like when people say I can't do something. My whole life, ever since my mama. I said, Mama, you send a daddy to jail? Say, yes, boy, we need that money. Mama, don't send daddy to jail. What's wrong with you, boy? How are we going to eat? I'll feed you. You 8 years old, I'm going to feed you, Mama. She didn't send him to jail. I love her. May Allah be pleased with her, grant her paradise. I love my mother. Love her right now today. But she know anything she needed and wanted, I'm going to give it to her. Or I'm going to go work for it to get it. And my mama made sure that I didn't do wrong thing because she beat me. Boy, I got all the beatings. My older sister didn't do nothing to get a beating. My older brother, he was always in college, so she couldn't beat him. And my younger sister, Zara, she didn't do nothing to hurt my mother. And my little brother, he was too young. I was the one that defined her. Not because I didn't like my mama. I just like do what I thought I should do. It wasn't her way. You got your tail. She beat me, and I will cry. And then 2 minutes later, I'm back up on her. What are you doing, boy? Get off me. Beat me again. Back up on her. What are you doing, boy? Get off. I would never leave my mama. she going out the door. I'm not used to her going out the door. Where you going? I'm going with you, Mama. And you today call your mother a kafa. And you today don't even want to be around your mother. You ain't studying this religion. You're not studying this religion. You don't even know what a kafa is. And that's the problem I have. The problem I got, they know all this Arabic and can't produce nothing and don't understand what they're saying. Now, I can be less than sensitive, but I see them. I be sitting right there. I say, oh, they got it. They getting ready to give you a connected dot and can't connect it, cannot connect it, and then revert to what? What are they reverting to? Some of them used to be Masons. They revert back to Masonry. I say, oh, my God, he don't have it. So he can't connect it, so he goes back to something 30-degree knowledge. Water freezes. That's it. They can't go no further. And they over top of our community. And I'm sitting there. It irks me. And I don't want to get up and make them feel bad. Brother, that is not Islam. That's Masonry you talking about. Those numbers. You playing with numbers. Then they get up. Listen, brothers and sisters. You remember Worthy Muhammad? Because I have some. I tell you, I'm from the army. I have some. I said, brother, man, why is they talking all this Arabic? He said, they showing off. He said, well, I'm going to teach you the Arabic. Arabiyah. Let's get it straight, too, so you'll know. I'm going to teach you the Arabiyah. I said, you all, you're going to have to take me back to kindergarten. He says, better than some of these brothers. Because once they learn the wrong way, it's hard to teach them. You can't. He said, I told Donnell Kareem, your job is to go and make sure they understand what they're saying. He came back and told them they're not listening. He said, good. I know who's with me and who isn't. And yes, it's correct. Ones that he was talking about, not with them today. They're not with them today. They say you're with them. So I said, brother, man, if they know all that, why I don't see no progress? He said, because their heart ain't right. Simple. Allah said, do not touch this Quran. If your heart is not pure, Allah knows your heart. You can fool everybody else, but you can't move. And then you wonder why you sisters got to get divorces. Because they get divorced because they play like they someone until you wake up with them. And you find out, what the hell do I have? They play y'all like a piano. They with this one, with that one. They got a new thing now. They got a new thing. They take a bet. And the only why they want that woman, because their husband was someone. Oh, yes. So they bet. If you heard, hear the things they talk about, and you know what, sisters? It's a shame because they tell everybody. But I was taught a rumor come to me. Stop it right there. You stop it right there. Don't even talk about it. Why? It stands for nothing. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is given to God, the cherisher, Thana of the world. We praise only He, and we worship no one besides Him. He has no sons. No one could come to Him without His permission. He created the Holy Quran and gave it to us to serve us in this world. Through Muhammad the Prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, who is a mercy to all humanity. We can never thank Allah for giving us a gift in Prophet Muhammad. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam wa salatu kareem. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadaqallah wa deen. Brothers and sisters, I want to give a shout out to a man that been cutting my hair ever since I was a youngster at the age of 17 years old. And he's a good brother, a beautiful brother. Has a wife that he's been with when his first wife passed away to the day. If you look at him, he looks much younger than what he is and built a great business as a barber. However, he had a stroke. And I talked to him today, and he spoke very well. He was touched how much I loved him. It takes a man to tell another man you love him. And I was disturbed, but when I heard his voice, I said, you know you can turn that around. All you got to do is do your therapy and trust in Allah. Because another brother I love, and he was my sensei, we called him the K.A. sister, Kareem Abdullah, my sensei, had a stroke also. But he didn't let that get him down. Today, you would never know he had that stroke. So they say if you can get to the hospital before that air can't get to them brains anymore and that blood can't shoot to that brain, then you become brain damaged, especially if you have a stroke because you can't move. Now, most of the men, and a good brother of mine who passed away, may Allah be pleased when I'm granted in paradise, he had a stroke behind the door. No one could find him for 2 days. This is what happens when you think you're supposed to be on this earth by yourself. Allah says we want one soul. But we're leaving our husbands, we separate, and we think it's fun out here. It's not fun. Matter of fact, my statement is you're very unintelligent, sisters. I don't care what degree you have, but there's no way you cannot get a husband. Something is wrong. See, you play this game with Satan. You can play if you want to, but you're going to find yourself in a very precarious position because a believer, a Muslim believer in Islam, that one is taught that your wife and children is nothing but a trial. But if you study that and you study it hard, it means that if your wife is in a wheelchair, that means if your wife has a sickness, that means if your wife even mess up out there in the world, your job is to make sure you maintain her sanity. Now, if she doesn't let you, that's her problem. But if she lets you maintain her sanity, Allah will turn her around. And you have passed the test, brother, because Allah says your wife and children are nothing but a trial, but you don't give up on your children. You don't give up on your wife. He didn't say your mother and father's a trial. He said your wife and children's a trial because without your parents, you wouldn't be here. But we say these words, but we don't understand it. Smack your wife lightly with a feather, but your hand ain't a feather, and you thought it was a wife. No, society is a wife. That's knowledge. You don't take your knowledge and beat up on a Christian that don't have it or a Hindu that does not have it. You don't take your knowledge and beat up on anyone. That's not our job to do that. So spank that knowledge lightly. That fragile individual in his or her mind is a female. That's what God is saying. But we are so physical that you putting your hands on her. Well, put your hands on my mother. Put your hands on my sister. Let me see. I will honestly tell you, brothers and sisters, I might be just coming home tonight, but there was a sister that used to get beat up years ago when I was a youngster. I went to go get him. I don't know. I could have probably messed up, and the man might have lost his life. He got his ex. I couldn't touch him. I didn't stand it then, and I don't stand it now. It's a coward. Matter of fact, is a man that don't even know that he's a man. He's really, in his mind, a sissy. He's a sissy. He want to be just like you because he can't be like you, so he puts his hands on you. Hey, just read the book. Read the book. Every pimp out there read that book, Iceberg Slim. But why is Iceberg Slim so ice? If you read his book, and I don't tell me I read it because I'm going to tell you now, I only read a few, but I didn't want to even read no more. He said, I quote, if the woman don't hoe, he will hoe. That's a pimp. That's a pimp. So that's a man that wanted to be a woman, he ain't going to end up being a woman. That's the best he can do. So he abuses all women. So that's why a man put his hand on you, because if he is in his right state of mind, your hands is powerful. Why would you want to abuse your mother, your sister, your daughter? How about your wife? You don't do it. So someone is not teaching today. So we teach in Arabic, and everybody's standing still. All you got to do is go in the park. We went from 20,000 to 50, maybe 100. And then they come up and lie to you. Well, I don't know the amount of the money is there. Well, tell us something, Brother Imam. Well, I'll wait till it's finished counting. That was last year. Still don't know the number. Don't even know where the money goes. They put money here, money there, money everywhere, but nobody knows it. Then they only want to get a job. For the rule is, brother, are you married? No. Now, I ain't talking about the brother that got married, got divorced, got another wife, got divorced, got another wife, got divorced, got another wife. I ain't talking about that one. At least he tried. But if you've never been married, something is wrong. There's a sickness somewhere. I heard Crow P say, I think he was a homo. He was abused in jail. I don't know. And don't care. But the point is, you can't come in front of these sisters, especially married sisters, especially sisters that are not married, and you've never been married, but you're the E-man. It's a sickness. I'm telling you, it's a disease. You can't lose mass kids, and then you trust the same one. And if you go and check the background, you'll find out it was offered to him. We could have had acres. That's what the former mayor said. But he chose not to because he didn't want to share it. Lynn had the money to go and save him last year and say, if he ain't the E-man, then he ain't giving it. Now Kings was gone. King know all the stories. He knows when brothers come, don't help brother Imam. So I said, I thought that's your Imam. No. Don't help him. He said, I'm not going to do that. I won't help you. Don't let the sisters in there. Why not? I let you in there. Well, don't do this. Don't do that. So he said, you are not together. So he sold the restaurant to someone don't even look like you, don't act like you, and is not a part of you. So now you ain't got no restaurant. You know how your children say, I want Burger King. Can you take me to Burger King? No, they don't sell halal. Well, take me to King. I can't. Why? It's no more us. It wasn't you before, fool. You made a rent, so you're going home. What are you going to stay here for? He got millions, and collectively they don't have a me. Oh, this is just so sick. Brothers and sisters, I ain't here to change nobody's religion. Allah didn't ask us to do that. Your way. Your way is your way, and my way is my way. And I'm not here to change it. God says in our holy book, the Holy Quran, we should not force our will on anyone. Let who have whatever they want, let them be free. Let him choose his own religion. If he's free, he can choose. He choose Islam, you're still my brother. You choose Christianity, you're still my brother. You choose Judaism, you're still my brother. I'm not judging you. We do not have to push our religion on anyone. Matter of fact, if you do that, you cheapen it. For Allah said, this religion ain't compulsory. He says it to us. That's for everybody. So why would I push it on you? But yet, they come in. I had a sister was in my automobile. I said, what do you think about the kupa? She said, I ain't understand a word. But I did take shahada. You did, yes. Same as it, yes. Then I wanted to see the brother to help me in my ways and what I'm doing. It took me 3 months, but I finally got him. Then he treated me like an angel. This is the E-man. This is the E-man. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I hate to say it, but they plotted amongst us, and their job is to stop the Tafsir of E-man Wallace D. Muhammad. One E-man told me, E-man is not the only one with a Tafsir school of thought, he said, a school of thought. I said, brother, E-man, Orsi Muhammad don't have no school of thought. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have a school of thought. Are you studying your religion? Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace, be upon him, is a perfect, you get the perfect example. What makes him perfect? Because he slips just like we do. He gets hurt just like we do. He gets tricked just like we do. He sins just like we do. What makes him perfect? He's perfect because his sunnah is the Quran. Well, ask his wife, who is your husband, Aisha? Prayers, peace be upon you. My husband is a human walking Quran. Brother, he teaches what God gave him to teach, and that's why he's perfect. But you want to give him a nationality. Allah didn't need you to give him that. You can't give none of the prophets a nationality. You can't give none of the prophets a school of this world. For they all taught. Well, why I know that? Because Allah says in the Quran that one prophet is over another. Then why do we sue Prophet Muhammad? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Because he represents all the prophets. But you stoop to listen to people who don't have it, and they got you now saying, Salam alaikum, brother. Salam alaikum, barakatuhu. Salam alaikum, rahmatullah, barakatuhu. Stop it. Stop it. It's not in the Holy Quran. That was strictly for Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, how about Salam alaikum, rahmatullah? That's for the angels. You got one on the right, one on the left. Greet them. But peace is powerful. Powerful. Who gave us Ramadan Kareem? They laughing at us. I hear them. Well, I thought y'all was taught. Where did that come from? That's not in the Quran, Ramadan Kareem. So Imam said Ramadan Mubarak, and only some of us do it. Why? Because he's black. Why? Because he looked like us. Why? Because he's not flamboyant. Why? Because he came from the lawns of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, we sick. I'm not going nowhere. Everything is happening. Yes, I say it. I have a right to say it. I can back it up because this is modest, what I'm saying to you. You got people that insult. Where you get this one from, Rod? What are you talking about? Is that the best you can do? Well, I have to protect him to say no. He just didn't feel good this month. But I don't think you have a right to say that he's not this, he's not that. Why? Because that's in the Quran. That's in the Holy Quran. Go and read it. If you don't protect your brother to a stranger or anyone outside this community, then you just like them. You charged with it. You know, brother, what they're saying about you. Okay. What are they saying? Well, they're saying such and such. What did you say? I ain't say nothing. I ain't got to say nothing to him. Walk away and say, hey, he's part of it. Because you protect your brother Now, when the door closed, see, the Honorable Muhammad didn't teach us that. He didn't teach us that. He said, if your brother's in a fight, look at that, in a fight, I mean a war, you're fighting, in a war. He said, don't ask him questions. Go in there and help him. And then when it's over, you ask him, what happened? Don't you ask them what happened. Or the same way when somebody comes to you and tell you about your sister or your brother. That's in the Holy Quran. Yes. Sister. Go find it. And you will find out that Allah says that. We have to protect each other. Then why are you doing what you're doing? Because when I was young, everybody turned their head. Why? Because the white man was saying, did you see the shooting? No, I didn't. You know damn well you saw it. Did you see that robber? No, I didn't. And you know perfect well you did. And today, everything, this is Naimuddin, everything in the dark will come to the light. So I'll bring it to the light. So they free, man. Let them be what they want. We need revelation and education as well as guidance, because we say we know revelation, but we ain't educated. Someone didn't educate you, and you need guidance. And our holy book, again, the Holy Quran says we need Hudan. Hudan in the Arabic words means guidance. Is for one that is on the straight path. You know what the straight path is if you read it in Revelation? Straight up. In the streets we say, hey, man, you come straight up? You straight up with me, man? Straight up. But it's not a slam in the Holy Quran. It's the mustaqim. That's a big difference, brothers and sisters. It's the mustaqim. And that is in the Holy Quran. It means guidance. You need guidance. You need obedience. Being respectful and godful. Are you godful? Gala. It means godful. You have to be godful of God. If you're not godful of God, then you're not producing. For some reason, I find them not being godful. At all. Isn't that amazing? You have to be godful to Allah, who created everything, who created the sun, the moon, the stars, who created the seven seas so your ships can sail, who created the land that you grow your foods and your vegetables and the trees. How could you not be godful to God? He created your parents. He created you in the womb. How could you not be godful to Allah? But it also means be godful of the hellfire. Yes. For Allah talks about the hellfire. You have to be godful of your passion. Some has passion for sex. I'm going to sex this one. I'm going to sex that one. Whether you male or female, it's a passion. For you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. This is the holy month of Ramadan. You should beg Allah for forgiveness. This is Lamedin. This is your debt. You owe a debt to God. And today, this is in the second 10 days. You are asking Allah for forgiveness. You can be washed away all them sins. If you beg Allah for forgiveness, he's all forgiving and most merciful. But you won't beg. You see, begging is saying, oh Allah, I sinned, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, Allah, I prostituted myself, Lord. I was a junkie, Lord. I played like I was right, but I understand that I have no conscience to open my legs to this one, Lord, and open my legs to that one, Lord. There's so many, I can't count them, Lord. See, you lie to God. You won't tell God the truth, but he knows you. He knows your heart. Now, I ain't say go and confess to someone else. They can't help you. They'll ridicule you. Okay, no man you go to and tell them all that. But when you talking to your Lord, you ask him to forgive you for all the things you have done. Allah will forgive you. He's most merciful. He said, if you make a sin greater than this, I will erase it from you and make you pure again. If I say anything to hurt anybody, that's not my intention. I thank you for listening. I'm Arad Muhammad, and I try to come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And I just want to give you the reality of what we practice, especially during the holy month of Ramadan. I greet you from our father, Adam, to our father of the intellectual mind of all nations, Abraham, to Christ Jesus, our brother, Jesus Christ, means Muslim. Christ means Muslim. To our prophet, Muhammad, the seal of the prophet, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the prophet, sinners, and his companions. To the words in the Holy Quran, the Arabic, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for tuning in, and I shall return, inshallah, on Monday, and we're going from 7 to 8 so we can break our fast, and sometimes I'm a little late, but Allah gave us a mercy, we can make it up, and this is more important than me swallowing food, is to give back that which God has given me. Thank you. May God be with you.